There's your answer, all right? And more than that, it's the fellowship. Ooh, wow. That's my meal. And some of you know I always eat last because I want to just see what God is doing in the midst of his people. Amen? Well, I got quite a few scriptures this morning. I was stirred by something I heard two different prophetic voices share this past week, prophets that I respect, from Psalms 37. And that psalm has actually very special meaning to my wife and I early on in our walk and early on in our marriage. So I know it well, and I've read it numerous times. But as you know, if you study the scripture, things jump out. And one of the things that you will see that jumps out is five times it talks about your inheritance in Psalms 37. I'm not going to read the whole Psalms. We'll touch upon it as we go type thing. You live in a time where things are constantly changing. I mean, you look around, whether it's the grocery store prices or you name it, the political climate, soup to nuts. Things are changing so rapidly. Life was much simpler when I grew up. I could say it that way, right? Anybody agree? And now it's like, whew. It's like a racetrack. Every area of society and culture seems to be changing at a frantic, fast-moving pace. Instability is the new normal. That's probably a fair statement. And Psalms 37, probably in your Bible, it talks about the security of those who trust in the Lord and the insecurity of those who don't, or the insecurity of the wicked and the evil that we see so prevalent in our generation. So it's important to maintain a godly perspective in the midst of all that's going on. You have to cut through it, and I do urge you not to watch the regular news because all you're going to get is a steady diet of negative and untruth as well. So it's important to maintain God's perspective, to walk by faith, not by sight, 2 Corinthians 5:7, and steer clear of a worldly perspective, which even Solomon or whoever wrote Ecclesiastes says in Ecclesiastes 8:15, "So I commended pleasure, for there is nothing good for a man under the sun but to eat, drink, and to be merry." Yeah, that's in the Bible. But the world says, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you may die. So in other words, just have a good time. Don't worry about whether it's wrong, right. Don't worry about if there's a standard of righteousness. Just do whatever you please and please yourself first. That pretty much captures the climate, right? We all know that's true. But that word security means freedom from danger or safety or freedom from fear or anxiety or protection. Whereas the opposite, insecurity, is uncertainty, unprotected, unsafe, lacking stability. I don't know about you, but I choose the first one. And the only way that's going to be prevalent in my life is if I trust the Lord. That doesn't mean everything's always going to go according to my desire or my timing. But I can be sure that God has my best interests at heart. So if it doesn't turn out at a time or in a way that I would hope, he knows what's best for me. And I felt this morning to just to digress a little bit. You know, I'm coasting towards the end of my existence on earth. That's a reality. Okay, I'm not going to die tomorrow unless God wills it. But when I pass, my inheritance, everything that I've worked all my life for, is going to go to my children and my grandchildren. And you know what? They don't deserve any of it. Honestly, they don't. They haven't done anything to merit it. And the inheritance we have in Christ, we have done nothing to deserve it. Absolutely nothing to merit the favor of God, the blessings of God, the promises of God. And yet, but God, but the goodness of the Lord. And the Bible says, I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I will see. That's my testimony, and I'm sticking to it. So, do bad things happen? Do inconveniences want to crowd in my life? Absolutely. But my eyes look to him from whence cometh my help. My help comes from the Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. All of that is not on my notes, of course. All right, let's get going here. So, as followers of Jesus Christ, we need to live in such a way that we inherit the land. That means God's promises, the future God has planned for us, if you will, your own promised land. You believe God has planned things for you that you've not yet experienced? I do, even at my age. Things are still coming that I know not of. But I can be sure God's going to be involved in those things. And so living, inherit the land, or keep living with a vision for the future. God wants to keep that vision alive in us. Because everything else out there wants to stuff it down and stuff it out. But God, he is going to breathe upon that vision, that deposit of Christ that is within us. A couple of additional scriptures before I start to preach. Isaiah 33:6. And he shall be the stability of your times, a wealth of salvation, wisdom, and knowledge. Who is that? Who is that King of Glory? The Lord strong and mighty. Jeremiah 29:11. We all know it. I know, the Lord speaking, the plan I have, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare, not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. Paul said it this way in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ, thank you, Lord, lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and delivered himself up for me. If you were the only one on earth, he would have died on the cross for you. That's love. That is love to the max. So, how do we live? How do you live to inherit your land? First of all, do you believe you have a land to inherit? Do you have things to possess? Do you have promises that are yours, that are yes and amen, that you have not yet grabbed a hold of? I believe that is so for all of us. So How do we live to inherit the land? Number one is to wait on the Lord. From Psalms 37, verse 9, it says, evildoers will be cut off, but those who wait for the Lord, they will what? Inherit the land. You going to be able to keep up with me? Okay. I'll try to slow down a little bit. Psalms 25, verse 5. Lead me in thy truth, and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. For thee I wait all the day. Even unconsciously, if you have committed your life to Christ, there's a sense of where your spirit is alive and active, and it's looking to the Lord. You don't have to verbalize it necessarily for it to be so. You wait for the Lord all day long. I am in constant alert waiting for the Lord to speak. I don't want to miss anything that he wants to say to me, even if it's discipline, because it's for my good. Psalms 27, verse 14. Wait for the Lord, be strong, let your heart take courage. Yes, wait for the Lord. That's easy to say, but not so easy to do sometimes, isn't it? To stay the course, to keep trusting when there's no evidence. You feel like you're out at the end of the plank, so to speak, ready to be kicked off against your will. Proverbs 2:21, for the upright will live in the land, and the blameless will remain in it. By his power, I might add. And of course, we know Isaiah 40:31, those who wait for the Lord will renew their strength. That's talking about tapping into the very grace of God for your life. When you've reached the end, you really haven't reached the end, because his grace is sufficient. For his power is perfected in your weakness, the Bible says. So, we need to find him and his provision. You know, sometimes we're looking in the wrong places, into the wrong things. And so we need to find the Lord in the midst of our trouble, in the midst of our challenges, in the midst of, I don't know what to do. He's there. So we need to find his provision and strength, and he's always worth waiting for. He always will come through when we're committed to stay the course, to wait on him. Secondly, we all love this one, to be humble. In this process of living to inherit the land, it's going to require that sometimes you don't get your own way, and sometimes you have to take a hit for the kingdom, for the team, as they say. Even when you really don't want to, your flesh wants to fire off a response, and if you're humble, that invisible zipper should be readily available, so that we can't take back those words. Words cause damage. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. So we need to be humble. It says in verse 11, Psalms 37:11, but the humble will inherit the land and will delight themselves in abundant prosperity. Are you hearing this? God's provision will be released to you and I as we remain faithful and humble, looking to him, not thinking we have all the answers. You know, I hate to admit it, but sometimes I just go out and I do things without asking the Lord. That is not being humble. It's being foolish. Matthew 5:5, Well, let's just digress here first to Psalms 36, 7 to 9. How precious is your loving kindness, O God, and the children of men, that's you, take refuge in the shadow of your wings. They drink their fill of the abundance of your house, and you give them to drink of the river of your delights. There's nothing that is more satisfying than living water, the river of his delights. For with you is the fountain of life, and in your light we see life. Ah, now I see. That's when God brings revelation, sometimes when you're at the very end of your rope, you're holding on to the last bit of the rope, and then you're going down. And he releases that grace and that answer. Matthew 5:5, blessed are the gentle, or the meek, or the humble, for they shall inherit the earth. Jesus saying this to us, highlighting the importance of that attitude of humility. Psalms 25, verse 9. He leads the humble in justice and teaches the humble his way. How many times have you tried to do things your own way? The head hurts when it hits the concrete, doesn't it? It's not fun. You cannot just decide you're going to do it the way you want to do it. You have to touch base with heaven. Touch base with Holy Spirit. He has the best way to do things. He teaches the humble his way. 1 Peter 5, verses 5 and 6. God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time. And oftentimes, the proper time is the very last minute. You've been going through some stuff. You feel like a failure, but you still stay in the course. You still trust in the Lord with no evidence of anything of redemption presenting itself. But then the Lord shows up and he exalts you at the right time, at the proper time. But oftentimes we need to learn something first. We need to learn a lesson. God's teaching us. God's molding us. He's building the character of Christ in us. And these challenges of life are what do it. And submitting and being humble before the Lord and trusting him in spite of the fact that we don't see any progress or answer coming, that does something in our character. It's the character of Christ being formed in us. That the mighty hand of God may exalt you at the proper time. And then we, of course, won't read the whole Psalms 23, the Lord is my shepherd. But verse 3 says this, he restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his namesake. There's a way to do it, and it's called God's way. Not your way. Not my way. And he leads you in paths of righteousness because he's the great shepherd. So even though it's painful at times or I don't know what other word to use, humbling, I guess. Yeah, you have to be humbled to be humble. And need to allow him to work his humility into you because the Holy Spirit said it this way, it brings great reward. It brings great reward when we submit to that process. Psalms 34, verse 2. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. And the humble will hear and rejoice. So in spite of what's going on, in spite of how we feel or what we see, God's always working, isn't he? Jesus told us that in the Gospels. I am working and my Father is working, even until now. Even though we don't feel it sometimes, we even sing that song. Even though I don't see it, or even though I don't feel it, I know because of the Word of God, you are working. You're always working on my behalf and in my life, orchestrating things. Those people you would never choose to allow in your life that God brings in His sovereignty, they all are there for a purpose. You don't volunteer for those people, believe me. I can say that honestly. And yet, God uses that to build character, to build humility in my life. Living in to possess your inheritance and His provision for you. This is the quest. This is the challenge of the Christian life, to keep moving forward, to keep looking towards the prize, as it says in Hebrews, I think it is, that the crown of life will be there for you and I. Number three in this living to inherit the land or the promises of God or your promised land is to walk in His favor. You know, sometimes we have a false concept of God, like He's, you know, and maybe earlier before you became a Christian, you know, it's like God's got a big stick and He's just waiting for you to mess up so He can discipline you. That's not who the Father is. Not even remotely who He is. And we have His favor. No matter what you see happening, no matter what comes your way that doesn't look like favor, you have His favor. From verse 22, it says in Psalms 37, verse 22, "For those blessed by Him will inherit the land." If you have His blessing, you have a future. You have a promise and a hope to inherit the land. He will see to it. He doesn't say you won't go through some stuff. Uh-uh. But He does say you have a future and a hope. Psalms 5, verse 12. "For it is Thou who dost bless the righteous man, O Lord. Thou dost surround him with favor as with a shield." That shield of faith extinguishes all the flaming darts. It talks about it in the Pauline letters in the New Testament. But you have to have that shield of faith up to benefit from it and to realize how blessed you really are. It's not about how much in your bank account or how good your health is even. Things we measure favor by. You have the peace of God inside of you. You can't buy that. You can't. There's no replacement for that. That's His favor. That's His love in you that wants to get out of you and touch other people. That's why we're here, to walk in His favor. Psalms 30, verse 5, "His favor is for a lifetime." You know, sometimes we falsely think, yeah, I sinned. Yeah, I blew it. Okay, I just fell out of His favor. No, you didn't. You just need to repent and move on. You don't fall out of His favor. You have His favor. So that's faulty thinking, to think His favor depends on you. His favor depends on Him. What He has planned, what He has purposed, His covenant with you. Psalms 118, verse 1. "Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His loving kindness," or His favor, "is everlasting." So those scriptures and many more are pointing to God's covenant with us. He won't break covenant. He has committed Himself to you, You understand the ramifications of that? He has committed his very self to you. Proverbs 13:21, adversity pursues sinners, but the righteous will be rewarded with prosperity. And I'm not talking about the prosperity gospel here. I'm just talking about God is good all the time. God is faithful all the time. God is praiseworthy all the time. And 2 Peter 1, 3 and 4. Grace and, seeing that his divine power, not yours, his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him, Jesus, who called you by his own glory and excellence. For by these he has granted to us, it's a gift, his precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may be partakers, here it is, of the divine nature, the very nature of Almighty God. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world. Do you understand how blessed you are? Do you understand how favored you are? How much he loves you? How much he is cares intricately about every single detail of your life? Doesn't escape his notice. When we're struggling, or when we're not struggling, when things are good or not so good, God's aware of every little thing. That's covenant. That's care. That's love. So we need to receive his promise of favor and blessing. And as we do, as we walk out our salvation with fear and trembling, as it says in the New Testament, he's glorified as we live this abundant life, John 10:10. As we live the abundant life, as we enter in to the favor he has extended, he's glorified. That's my boy. That's my girl there doing that. Entering in and then sharing the blessing as well. Living to inherit the land. Verse 29 in our text, Psalms 37, to walk in his righteousness. The righteous will inherit the land. It doesn't say if you feel righteous, you will inherit the land. The Bible says you are righteous. When the blood of Jesus has been applied to your life, when you were born again, you became the righteousness of God in Christ. You don't have to understand that to receive it by faith. To walk in his righteousness, they will inherit the land and dwell in it forever. 2 Corinthians 5:21. He made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin on our behalf, that we might become, what? The righteousness of God in Christ. That's Bible truth. Romans 6, the end of verse 13. Present yourselves to God as those alive from the dead, as instruments of righteousness to God. You were dead. You were spiritually dead until Jesus reached out to you What a thought. Present yourselves as instruments of righteousness to God. That's living your life in such a way that it glorifies Jesus Christ. Romans 14, verses 17 and 18. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. For he who in this way serves Christ, are you hearing this? When you enter into God's provision, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he who in this way serves Christ is acceptable to God and approved by men. It's going to be obvious who your leader is, who your allegiance, where your allegiance lies to Christ by what they see in your life. You're not perfect, I'm not perfect, but we do the best we can to live for him. And when we fall short, there's a remedy. It's called repentance. Walk in his righteousness. Your past is covered by his blood. Your present and future are empowered by his blood, enabling you to live a righteous life. That's a mouthful. But it just says, you are nothing without the blood. You are nothing without Jesus Christ. You can do nothing without Jesus Christ. That's the power of the blood. And finally, number 5, which is verse 34 in our text, Psalm 37, 34. Wait for the Lord, keep his way, and he will exalt you to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, you will see it. And we are rapidly moving to that point in the United States of America. God has extended grace upon grace, and at some point, the grace is going to be withdrawn, and accountability is going to come for those who are doing such horrible things behind the scenes in this country. Keep his way, live your life through him and for his glory. It says, wait for the Lord and keep his way, and he will exalt you. That word means keep, watch, or preserve his way. It means you have to be committed to this process, because it's a process. It's not a one-day thing. It's a commission that comes with the call of being a Christ follower, being a disciple of Jesus Christ. It means making the right choices, walking in his righteousness. So, John, I think I skipped this one, but I'll read it anyway. John 14, verse 21 and 23. He who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will disclose myself to him. That's relationship. That's life abundantly. Jesus talking to you one-on-one, exchanging his life, pouring out his life and his love and his peace into you. And verse 23, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and what? Make our abode in him. Ooh, what a promise. The Lord is with us. But that we have to keep our part of the covenant, you see. We can't just, you know, live however you feel like and then Sunday come into church and act piously. It doesn't work that way. Philippians 3:16, let us keep living by that same standard to which we have attained. What the Word tells us to do, committing our way, living by faith, trusting the Lord, leaning on His promises. It means to keep committing our way to Him. Colossians 3:1-3. Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above. That's the target, godly things and God. Keep seeking the things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above. I would even say fix your mind on things above. Not on the things on the earth, for you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And we saw what Paul said before in Romans. It's no longer I who live. It's Christ and the power of Christ that lives within me. So this is an ongoing process of keep committing your way to the Lord, trusting Him, and He will do it. Psalms 37:5. He has a plan and the power to enforce that plan or make it happen for you to live to inherit the land, your land. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Proverbs 3:5-6. And lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge Him. And He will direct your path, your steps. He'll make your path straight, depending on what version you read. It means He'll lead you in the everlasting way that the Bible talks about. And finally, 1 Thessalonians 5:24, and I'm closing. For faithful is He who has called you. And He, not you, and He will bring it to pass. He will make sure you cross the finish line. You may be crawling, you may be running. That depends on how you listen and obey the Holy Spirit. But He will make sure you make it to the end. That's what we call faithfulness. And so, when you walk out this door today, you're going to face challenges. Whether you know it or not, you are going to face some things. Today, tomorrow. But God is with you. God is for you. He's made provision for you in Christ. His grace is sufficient for you. But you have to access it. You have to talk to the Lord. Tell Him what you're going through, like He doesn't already know. But there's something that's released in that humility when we tell Him, Lord, you know, I'm not doing this very well, Lord. I need Your help. To God be the glory, great things He has done. God